Welcome to the middle of our series, our summer series called Roots, a series that we're just trying to kind of go back to the basics and see where our lives are rooted in and see what our foundation of life is. And you know, we've talked about a lot of things already, but we first talked about how that God loves you so much. And he loves me so much that he initiated this thing called salvation. And then as we've already kind of sang about and talked about and prayed about, he didn't just make it some concept that we couldn't understand. He sent Jesus, who was God incarnate, God with us, to show us, to lead us, to guide us, to communicate with us. And then through his story, and if you know anything about the story of Jesus and all the things that he endured for you and I, then as he was buried and he rose again and he sits at the right hand of the Father, but God didn't leave us alone, that he gave and instilled in us that have said yes to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and it's through the Spirit's invitation that we can experience a salvation. And then we know that a lot of people have questions about this. And so, you know, what's different about you? What do you have that I don't have? And so we've just been kind of talking a lot about that. But if you've said yes to Jesus, things change. And if you think about it, the way we look at things, our focus changes. We no longer think about things kind of how the world thinks. In fact, our focus changes really towards him and towards them, towards God and towards others. Our focus changes. And the way that we live, our faith, the way our faith is acted out changes. We begin to want to do the things that make God happy. We begin to try our best by studying the Word and coming under godly teaching of how to live holy lives. But on top of that, he doesn't leave us alone. He puts us in a church family, and our consideration of one another is elevated. We begin to understand the beauty of the bride of Christ, the church. But in order for us to really be elevated and kind of shine, because that very last verse that we sang, it talks about we'll share those things that we have experienced and letting our light shine. There's some things that we have to do in order for that to happen. And last week, if you were here, to really elevate our focus, our faith, and our understanding of the family of God, God asked us to get rid of some things. We can't keep holding on to some of the things that we were doing before. There's some things that need to be removed, pruned. We use the analogy of the rose bush, and we remove those things that are undesirable, and we begin to have a different appetite. We prefer those things that are godly, those things that once you've tasted the goodness of God, there's just nothing that matches. And kind of use some analogies with food. You know, there's lots of ice cream out there, but there's only one Bluebell, right? Can I get a witness to that? And then the very last thing that we talked about last week is really learning to perceive the unimaginable. That we, you and I, if you said yes to Jesus, we are the children of God. We are heirs to the kingdom. I mean, and when you really grasp that, if we were to really grasp of who we are in Christ Jesus, it changes everything. And we begin to live our lives, and really we are elevated. And this morning we wanted to kind of weave in this series. So this today is really our elevated part three, but we've got some different communicators this morning. But I want to kind of prep you for those that have elevated their faith, their focus, their understanding of the family of God. But this morning's verse is found in, and I will have it on the screen, is 1 Peter 2:9, and it really reminds us of who we are. He says, "You," and he's talking to the people of God. He says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession." I mean, God created us for him, by him and for him and through him all things are created. But he doesn't just say we're just created. He says so that you and I, that's us, plural, that we may proclaim the praises of the one. And then he uses this analogy of light and darkness, has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I were intended to shine for Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul told the church in Philippi, in the letter to the Philippians, he said, you are to be bright, shining stars. If you've ever been, I love Texas because in the summer months when you look up and you see the stars, it's just a beautiful thing. And that's, you and I were created to be bright lights for God. And so this morning, I want to kind of show you what that kind of looks like in action. And I want you to know something right up front. You can't be too young, you can't be too old to shine the light. We're intended to shine from the moment that we said yes to Jesus. We're intended to shine. And this morning, this Friday, Saturday, and it's culminating actually tonight at 6:30, is our kind of an unusual take on Vacation Bible School. We've done it Friday night, Saturday night, this morning, and then we'll culminate tonight at the BK pool. The kids, our kids, your children, and a group of great volunteers and leaders have been talking about this subject of being light, of shining for Jesus. And so this morning, our kids are going to present the gospel to us and the challenge to us and kind of prepare you for that. Watch this video.
Okay, so as you can see, we had a lot of fun at VBS this weekend. We had Friday night, Saturday night, like Jay had said, and we had 48 kids come on Friday and 50 kids come last night. So we had a big group of kids. We had a lot of fun. Our theme verse for this weekend was John 8:12, which talks about Jesus being the light of the world. And we talked to the kids about how they are supposed to be the light as well. So it ties in perfectly with what our church is talking about right now. And we just had a great time. One of my favorite things that we did in VBS, as you can see here, we have this cross over here with some hearts. And you saw the pictures in the slideshow. The kids wrote down a sin that they struggle with in their life, and they taped that to the cross. So it's a perfect symbol of the kids laying down their sin and their struggle at the cross for God to take control of and for God to help them overcome it. So the kids are really impacted by that, and it was just a great representation of how God can help them overcome their struggles and their sins. We could not have made this weekend possible without our amazing volunteers. So if you are a part of VBS in any way this weekend, please stand up. Yes, all of you are amazing, and we had so much help. Our teens were great at helping, many of our adults helped, but this was not possible without all of you. So thank you so much for making an impact on our kids' life and for giving up your weekend for our kids to have fun and to learn more about Jesus.
A round of applause for our folks. You know, it all starts at the beginning. If you think about learning to be the light of the world and to be like Jesus, you know, kids just don't have a problem doing that. You ever notice that? They learn a Bible story and they just have no problem telling other people about it. It just comes natural to them. And so I love the verse. And this is kind of a carryover from when they went to kids camp, to children's camp, where it was go light our world. That's kind of the challenge. But we can't do that as individuals unless we're firmly rooted in Christ Jesus. As I said earlier, I think sometimes, though, we think, well, yeah, shining our light, you know, we remember VBS. How many remember this little light of mine? Remember that? This will date some of us. You know, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? I'm going to let it shine. My favorite part was, won't let the devil it out. You know, I'm going to let it shine. We think that's all for kids. But I have to tell you, it's not just for kids. God, as I said, God expects us, that fire that he starts in us, that light that he begins to shine in us, he doesn't want us to cover that up from beginning until we step into his light face to face. He wants us to do that. And I love their verse where it talks about that Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me, will never walk in darkness. And it doesn't say will. He says this, he goes, you will have the light. If you're in Christ Jesus and Christ is in you, you will have a light. And that doesn't, it's not supposed to go out. And so it carries on. It carries on as the children progress and become adolescents, and as they in their preteens, and then they become students in our middle school and high school, and then as they progress into their schools, and then as they graduate high school, they're to be a light into our college campuses. And then when they get out of college and get into the workplace, Christ expects us to be the light in our workplaces. In our homes, with our neighbors, and when we go on vacation, God just wants to use us not only in just in our homes and not just in our, but all over the world. And the Great Commission says to go and make disciples. And so this morning we also wanted to share with you another group that you recently prayed for, and many of you recently helped support. Shining a light in a very dark place, both spiritually and quite frankly, with in some areas that have no electricity, and that is the team that went to Kenya. And so this morning, we're going to kind of let them come and share a little bit about what you've been praying about, and so that you'll know that your prayers were answered and that you were a part of their light and our light, Jesus' light, shining in Kenya. So if you would, watch this video, and then they're going to come and share a little bit.
Can you hear it? The gentle voice of the Spirit. There's no reason to fear it. He's calling you to life. Just surrender. Roll into the arms of the Father. The night is finally over. Take a step into the light. This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins. Can you see it? A light shines into the darkness. To the hopeless, it's leading you to life. This is the day when all your sins are washed away in the waves of His unending grace. Forever your life. This is the day when the lost are found. Come and He is here. Have no fear. Salvation has come and He is here. Have no fear.
What will happen when the light of Christ begins to shine through you. You never know. But I can promise you this, the light in you will change you. You can never be the same. And, you know, Scripture talks about how what's in the heart comes out the mouth. And so, you know, again, when you're out doing what you're supposed to do, you get excited about it. And you saw that with our kids. You see that with the teams that go on these trips. And yet, some of us still have yet to experience really what it means to be the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Beatitudes, and he was looking down over that valley, and in the backdrop was the Sea of Galilee, and that natural amphitheater, he began to share what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. As he began to share, at the very beginning of that, really, he challenged that whole group. He said, you know what, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and bring glory to the Father in heaven. We were never intended to be hidden. We were never intended, as we shared a couple of weeks ago, just to have roots and never come up out of the ground. God wants us, Jesus wants us, and challenges us to be that light to the community. And one thing that they didn't get a chance to do was introduce David and Kim Hayes, who also work with Real for Christ, and you can meet them out at the kiosk out there as soon as you go out the door and just kind of talk about Africa and spend some time and ask some questions. But, you know, as we kind of wrap up this part of Roots, I was trying to think of a way to help us understand how do you shine? Maybe you're saying, well, how can I shine? So I brought some props with me this morning, and I think I've shared this one particular one before. This is a very unique lamp. This lamp was given to me by Terry. This lamp, my understanding, is used in Alaska I understand there's months and months and months where the sun never shines. And if the sun is not shining, it just gets depressing. You know, and even in our office area there, we have no windows. And so after a period of time, it starts kind of wearing on you. And so she gave me this light. And it's intended. I mean, it's supposed to shine. It was built for that. It was created for that. And so it was intended to shine. That's what it was created to do. But that light represents a lot of us. We're created to shine. We're supposed to provide, and people see us. We talked about hope. You heard that already. And yet, there we are. We're just kind of there. We're not doing what we were created to do. Much like a flashlight. I bought this really cool flashlight because it matches my motorcycle. It's called the Big Larry. Big Larry was supposed to shine. It's created to shine. It is designed to shine. It's even cool looking. It's supposed to shine, but it doesn't do anything but just sit there if something doesn't happen. Here's another light, one of my favorite illustrations. This is called a chem light, chemical light. When I was in the military, we would take these on deployments with us because out in the dark area where there were no street lights, just you set up your tents, it gets very dark. And you'd be surprised what one of these little chem lights, how much light they can put out. They're designed by the Creator to shine. But it's just sitting there. So something has to take place in order for these created things that were intended to shine. And it's that point where in our own, just that's us, in our own selves, we can't shine. And we remain in darkness, and those around us remain in darkness. But when we say yes to Jesus Christ, and that, listen, when we say yes to Jesus Christ, oftentimes it's because God has begun to shake us up, to cause our lives to start questioning, something's got to be more than this. But it's not until we humble ourselves and until what we become what the Bible says is spiritually broken, and God continues to move in our lives, that we begin to do what God has asked us to do. But the moment that we are broken of ourselves and we say yes to Jesus and His Spirit indwells us, and we begin to see what the light of Jesus and allow Him to shine through us, this light in a dark place shines extremely bright. In the hands of the Master, He knows how He's created us. He expects us to shine brightly. Now, some of us are a little dimmer. And some of us are called into emergency situations because the world needs to see that there's danger, that there is a place that was created not for mankind. It was created for the enemy and his angels. But if we don't shine, if we don't do what we are created to do, they don't see it. So there has to be a point in our lives where you and I come to the point where we realize this is what we were created by God and for God, to do something for God. And when we will say yes to Jesus Christ and begin to do the things He asks us to do, we begin to shine brightly. One of the ways that we first begin to shine and point people to Him is when you say yes to Jesus Christ. He says, repent. And repent's really just a simple military word, and we're going this way, which is the wrong way. And God gets a hold of us, and we realize we're going the wrong way. And through circumstances, through the Word of God, through someone sharing with us, and we stop, we confess, I'm going the wrong way. But repentance is actually turning and going with God, saying yes to Him. And when we confess and repent, then we begin to, as we talked about, living these holy lives. And the very first step that we do is repent and be baptized. Now, tonight at 6:30, we're having a church-wide event. It's not just for the kids. It's for all of us and all of your friends. Tonight at 6:30, we are going to gather over on Sublet at the Bad Königshofen swimming pool. BK Pool, for those of you that can't say Bad Königshofen. And hopefully, tonight, we will have some of you who would say, you know what, I have said yes to Jesus Christ, but I have not followed through on that first step to where I can begin to shine all that God wants me to do and shine the way He wants me to, because Jesus actually Himself was baptized, and he always told His disciples to follow Him. And you say, well, why would I want to be baptized? Well, baptism is really simple. It's not difficult. If you think about this being your light, and when a person is baptized, they are shining the light of Jesus. Because here's what they're saying. They're saying when they go under the water that they are dying out to their old self. They're broken. But in Christ Jesus, they are raised to walk in a brand new life. And in that brand new life, what was created that was no longer shining, now in Christ Jesus, now begins to shine. So that the other, it's a public testimony that you now have the light of Jesus in you, and you want Him to shine through you. But it all starts with saying yes to Jesus. It's not about a religion, it's about a relationship with Jesus. And each of us have the same purpose to shine, He says. He said, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Let's use the light analogy. That they may see your light. And they'll bring glory to your Father in heaven. Because those that shine His light recognize that without Jesus, they don't shine at all. A few weeks, we're going to be starting a new series at the end of this series as we start our fall series called I Am. And we'll be talking some about that as well. But what I know about light is that it does pierce the darkness. And would you agree with me that we live in a world that is spiritually dark? And they need to see the light. But it takes God's people being sometimes shaken up, broken, and used for what God wants it to do. Light provides direction. Anybody ever been in the dark and wished you had a flashlight? You see, without that darkness, you can cause a lot of havoc. Miss out on where you're supposed to be going. Here's another thing I know about the light. And I've learned this from being married for almost 33 years. I learned that in the bathroom you need a bright light because I'm about to get myself in trouble. I can figure it out. I'm trying to figure out how to back pedal this real quick. Bright light will shine on the deficiencies so you can cover it up. And guys, don't sit there and act holy because I know you do it too because I do. But when you shine a bright light on an area, it's going to highlight the deficiencies. It's going to show what needs to be changed and what needs to be addressed. And Jesus does that. He doesn't leave us with deficiencies. He says, be holy as I am holy. We are to be a royal priesthood, as we've talked about. And so he wants to shine his light into our life and into our deficiencies so that we can get out of the darkness, that we can have direction for our life. And he does that many times because if you've ever wandered around in the dark without the light, not knowing what you're supposed to go, or if there's danger out there, it prevents destruction. How many of you have ever hit your shin in the middle of the night? You know what I'm talking about. You and I are to let our light shine. And our light is who? Jesus. We are to let Jesus shine into the world so that they can see. And not to see just us, but to see our good works so that they can bring glory to the Father in heaven. And many of you did that Wednesday night at Stovall Park. We were out in the park and inviting friends and neighbors to tonight's event and to our church. And you saw the cross a few weeks ago that we challenged you to, within the next 6 months, not just to invite somebody to come with you, but to bring them with you to be a part of a church that is doing its best to let the light of Jesus shine through them. So here's my question, and then Tim's going to come and kind of lead us in a response song, and then we'll take up the offering, and then I'll come up and just do a couple more things, and we're done. Tonight, I want to encourage you to come back, to meet us over at Stovall Park. We're going to have some pizza and some snow cones, but really we're gathering there so we can reach our community. And if deep down in your heart you'd said, you know what, I know that I'm not shining like I'm supposed to because, yes, I've said yes to Jesus, but I've never declared that publicly and made that testimony. If you'd like to be baptized tonight, come. Come. Bring your shorts. It's a great time. And you're already going to be in the water. And so we're going to share that testimony and allow anybody who wants to be baptized tonight to be baptized. We'll be glad to do that. But come, and then there'll be people there that really don't know anything about the light. Come and shine tonight. Some of you that don't have tans, like, you know, you'll shine brighter than others. you put the C in Caucasian and all that kind of stuff. But come back. Shine. Share. Shine the light. Do what you were created to do, church, so that others can come out of darkness. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that at an early age, our children are not only learning what it means to have the light, but they're being challenged to show your light as well. God, with a childlike enthusiasm, may that be us as a church. And I thank you, God, that we as a church, through these 8 sent missionaries, had a chance to shine in Kenya and show your love to people that desperately needed the declaration of hope brought to them. And I thank you for those of your bride called Connect who did the same thing at a park, playing basketball and volleyball and giving away a free hot dog just for the opportunity to point them to the light. And God, I pray that on a constant basis that you would renew our understanding of what you created us to do as individuals, but also as a church. And I pray, God, this morning, even now, Holy Spirit, through the light of your presence, would you highlight our deficiencies and see where once we were shining brightly, have now started becoming dim. Or we need a fresh plugging in so that we can shine. Search our hearts, O God, and see if there's something that needs to be rectified and removed this morning through confession and repentance. And then use us tonight. Father, I pray for a remarkable, unmistakable presence of your Holy Spirit tonight at Stovall, at the pool. I pray even now, Holy Spirit, that those who have been grappling with publicly identifying with you, that tonight would be the night that they would shine, that they'd say, yes, I'm going to do what even Jesus set the example to do. But it all starts with saying yes. And so, God, if there's anyone here this morning that knows of you but doesn't really know you, that today they would say yes. That in their own words, God, they would pray to you and say, oh, I'm so sorry, God, I've missed the mark. I've been doing it my way, and I hadn't had your light shining through me at all. And so today they want to say yes and be indwelled with the presence of your Holy Spirit. They would confess their sins and repent, confess that you are Jesus, the Lord, that you lived, you were crucified, you were buried, and on the third day you rose again, and that you're coming back again. And they acknowledge that. And they ask for you to take charge and fill them. But today would be that day. And then they would follow through, God, tonight with baptism. Lord, elevate us so that we can bring glory to you, and others will be glorified by you and through you. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, and we're just going to kind of sing a song of response as we prepare to kind of go out into the world and be the light here in a few minutes.